presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Just to clarify and to connect everyone what we are talking about, here is Maharaj Parikshit talking to Sukadeva Goswami, the advent of Sukadeva Goswami. Purport. There are two classes of human beings, namely the atheist and the devotees of the Lord. The devotee of the Lord, because of manifesting godly qualities, is called a demigod, whereas the atheist is called a demon. The demon cannot stand the presence of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. The demons are always busy in trying to vanquish the personality of Godhead. But factually, as soon as the personality of Godhead appears, by either his transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia of variegatedness, the demon is at once vanquished. It is said that a ghost cannot remain as soon as the holy name of the Lord is chanted. The great saints and devotees of the Lord are in the list of his paraphernalia, and thus as soon as a saintly devotee is present, the ghostly sins are at once vanquished. That is the verdict of the Vedic literatures. One is recommended, therefore, to associate only with the saintly devotees so that worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence. Omajana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kavadamayam Tatati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam angalam gayate gire. Yakripa tamaham bande shiguru dinatarinam. By the mercy of my spiritual master, a lame man like me can cross mountains. And by the mercy of my spiritual master, a blind man like me can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of my spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak a few words today on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shrimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamine, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine, Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Vaskata Desatarini Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Chak Kripasindubhya Ivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. Thank you once again for inviting me to have your association to the all the brahmachari devotees at Bhaktivedanta Manor, to the host from New Mayapur, this nice boy, and to all those who are present on the net from their own respective home. Thank you for having me today. So, we can read the verse again. Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of men are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Here, Maharaj Parikshit, this young man, is welcoming Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And these verses, they are glorifying the advent of Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami is one of the Mahajans, an authority on religion, is the original representative of the Srimad Bhagavatam to actually manifest the Srimad Bhagavatam in a Shabda Brahman form. Vyasadeva, he wrote it with his hand in the mantra Upasana. It was actually thought and written down, but here we have Sukadeva Goswami just about to invoke the Srimad Bhagavatam in the sound vibration. And he's actually a very, very young, only 16 years old boy, Sukadeva Goswami, but everyone could recognize him as the bona fide representative of the providence. He was a beautiful creature, very attractive, beautiful big eyes, and he had long arms. He had a slightly broad chest, thin waist, a blue complexion like Lord Krishna, beautiful blackish curly blue hair, darkish blue, like it explains in the Bhagavatam, and pinky hands, pinky feet. So he had all the signs of Mahapurush. Mahapurush is, you can attribute the signs of a Mahapurush to a great personality, just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He also had beautiful features, long arms. Lord Chaitanya was the same. Long arms, very beautiful feature. It's a feature that has to be seen from the core of the soul. Because for mundane people, even if they see God in front of them, they won't recognize Him. But of course, they don't see God. As he explained here, just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence. So it's like materialist people, they're taken away the vision of the spiritual. But of course, they become purified at the same time. But they cannot see God. Atahashi Krishna Namadi, Nabhaveri Griyayam Indriyani. With our dirty senses, we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot perceive Him. But if He's in front of us, the sins, they're vanquished. They cannot stand the presence of the saintly personality like Sukadeva Goswami or a pure devotee of the Lord or the Lord Himself. So here is the beautiful result of Maharaj Parikshit. He was actually only 18 years old, young emperor of the world, 18 or 19. And he was the last of the grandson, the only grandson of the Pandavas on the planet, representing the dynasty of the Pandavas. Very dear to Lord Krishna. But you can see that Supreme Personality of Godhead is very impartial. Krishna doesn't think, oh, he's the only boy left of my very dear Pandavas, because all the grandchildren, the children of the Pandavas, they were all killed by Ashwatthama. Even Abhimanyu, the son of Subhadra, he was killed, only 16 years old. So it was a great loss for the Pandavas, for Lord Krishna. But the Lord still remains impartial to his rules. Here you could see Maharaj Parikshit, he committed an offense to the to this Brahman and the son of Rishyasringa. He cursed him, but the Lord could not protect. He did not protect Maharaj Parikshit. You could say that relatively indifferent, in a different way, he protected him by giving him this boon encountering his representative, Sukadeva Goswami. But see, the Lord is impartial. He's teaching us that no matter who we are, even if we are his own children, or if we are relatives to God, but if we make an offense to Brahmins or cows, then we are also deemed to be punished. The same Lord who protected him in the first time in the womb of Uttara, he protected Maharaj Parikshit at the time of his birth. So he gave him a new body and he was allowed to carry on his life. So in one hand the Lord protected him, and the other hand later on here in this incident the Lord could not protect him. But there is a phenomena here. Because Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee of the Lord, he immediately realized of his offense and he repented. He repented and he became so aware of his guilt. Mea culpa, mea culpa. It's my fault. There are no excuses, and therefore I deserve my punishment. You can see, if you read the very first verse of this chapter, very interesting. It's the most important one. It's all about the repentance of Maharaj Parikshit. And it's interesting because when someone repents sincerely, then automatically the Lord, you don't just become purified from the sins that you have committed, from the wrongdoing that you've been engaging into. But there is also another phenomenon that later on Prabhupada, I really liked it. It's a beautiful phenomenon. The power of repentance gives us purification. And also there is a phenomena that gives us the darshan of a spiritual epiphany. Something good is supposed to happen. And you could see here not only he got purified, Maharaj Parikshit, but he had the boon of encountering the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to be completely purified by the narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, it is said that Maharaj Parikshit, by the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami and by the mercy of all the great sages, he was actually already purified by the fire of the association of all these great personalities, and also by the fire of his repentance. He was already purified. If he wished, he could have carried on living. But no. He told, there is another section in the, I think it's in the third canto, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Maharaj Parikshit was very merciful to think not just of himself, but for future generations. So he didn't want to be exonerated to carry on a living and enjoy, you know, the pastimes with his family, to be a king. But he renounced everything for the benefit of human society. He wanted the Srimad Bhagavatam to take birth. Because if he would have just walked away, carried on living, counteracted his own, the curse of this Brahman. Prabhupada, he mentioned that he could have counteracted, even though I said it before, that the Lord actually did not tolerate that, and couldn't do anything, but it didn't mean, you know, that the Lord wouldn't allow him to counteract his own course, his own curse. It is mentioned that he could have carried on his life, but because there are counteractions for curses, for when someone is being doomed with a catastrophe or something which is difficult to be prevented or to be turned over, there are counter, you know, just like the for the Brahmastra that Ashwatthama he launched, there was a counter. Something that neutralized the Brahmastra and that Arjuna used. So similarly, there are phenomena that you could use to neutralize the curse. But he didn't wish to do that because Maharaj Parikshit wanted all of us, the human society for the future of Kali Yuga, to be delivered by this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam assumes as the Lord, he departed from this planet. The Bhagavatam then became a manifest, brilliant like the sun, as we say. And is destined to purify the world, the entire world, because there are none other than the words of the representative of Krishna, the words of the devotees, the Acharya, the Mahajans. In fact, all the 12 Mahajans, they speak in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are the words of Lord Krishna. It's a very powerful text. Of all the Vedas, is the cream, because it contains the sound vibration of the 12 Mahajans, of all the associates of Lord Krishna, of Krishna himself, and so many. Even when the demons, they speak in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we get purified. Because demons, they were none other than the comrades of Krishna. They came into this world to play the part of a demon, to form the story. Because these stories, they're not just fairy tale, but they are meant to purify the heart of the conditioned souls. Just like Prabhupada used the example of the mother-in-law, when she wants to teach a message or teach a lesson to the daughter-in-law, she chastises her own daughter. So similarly, Krishna, when he wants to teach a message to the conditioned souls, he chastises his own devotee, and he makes them appearing as demon, like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. They were none other than giant Vijay. All these demons that they were in contact with Krishna, they are not ordinary personalities. They're all there to collaborate into the pastimes of Krishna, so that that those pastimes will be recorded and established into the Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Ramayana. So at the end of the day, every single word in the Srimad Bhagavatam has the potency as the Lord himself, even if he's a word from a demon. So it's very interesting that the selflessness of Maharaj Parikshit, that he told of us. He ended up his life giving up, you know, can you imagine someone who is an emperor? At the age, he was just appointed as an emperor. He was barely 18, 19 year old. And you know, you have the whole life in front of you. Would you give it up? You could see what, I don't want to mention names on the net, but the previous president of the United States, he would do anything and everything to not give up his position. And many other personalities, like the president of Syria, he would do anything and everything to not give up his position as the Lord of that country, even at the cost of having so many families exterminated, millions of people being killed, children being abandoned, orphaned. You could see they hung on to power. These are the so-called emperors of Kali Yuga. So many little demons. But the little that they know, life is short, they will die. And then Punya Musika Bhav, they have to face the law of karma, the Yamadutas. But Maharaj Parikshit was very responsible, very pure, very selfless, full of love and compassion in his heart. And these are people to be worshipped. He told of us. He said, no, I offended the Brahmins and I deserve my punishment. But on top of it, I want the Srimad Bhagavatam to become a manifest. I want, you know, Sukadeva Goswami to speak to me, not for my own benefit, but for the benefit of future generations of Kali Yuga. And that's why it gives me a lot of inspiration, Maharaj Parikshit, because it has given me a little service to do. And I'm very happy to go out and distribute. I go out about 4 or 5 days a week to distribute Bhagavad Gita and the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an honor. And I'm grateful to this young man, Maharaj Parikshit, because if it was not for him, many of us here, we wouldn't have much service, much preaching to do. Without the Srimad Bhagavatam, without this Vedic literature, there is, what can, you know, we just give out, okay, humanitarian service, some food offered to the deities, we do some puja, but we chant Hare Krishna, but there is no philosophy to give to people, no training, no Brihat Mridanga, because really the real chanting is to preach, to distribute this message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada gave a huge chunk of his life to translate and to create purports for this wonderful literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. He made it so easy and palatable for all of us to understand it, to get purified, and to get inspired to pass it on. And people, they do get affected by the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because life without preaching, there is no life. We remain like a Sunday feast devotees. I remember for 1 year when I came in contact with the devotees, 1979, for 1 year I was going to the Sunday feast. But then I had to make up my mind, you know, what do I want to do? Do I want to remain for the rest of my life a Sunday feast devotee? Or do I want to do something to help the devotees? To preach, to make other devotees. So, in the same way, when someone gave me some books and I got inspired and convinced to join, so I want to do the same thing for somebody else. It's important to pass on the inspiration that we receive. You know, like every day you chant Hare Krishna, every day you have a darshan of the deities, whether you are in the temple or you're not in the temple, you can always have darshan on Zoom or on internet, or you can have a darshan of the books, darshan of a picture of Krishna. We get purified, we get inspired. But that inspiration, that good spirit, what are you going to do with it? In spirit, inspiration means in you put some good spirit. People, materialist people every day, there are so many different kinds of spirit, like Prabhupada says in the purport here at the end, the Vedic verdict is that one is recommended, therefore, to associate only with saintly devotees so that worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence. The ghost means spirit, a bad spirit. So we are all haunted by ghosts, the ghost of material desires, the ghost of anger, lust. People, materialist people, they put in this ghostly spirit of bad impression. And that's how they get inspired to do bad things. You know, you can get inspired to do a bad thing, or you can get inspired to do a good thing. So if you put in a spirit, good spirit, like reading Bhagavatam every day, or chanting Hare Krishna mantra, or associating with devotees, or even taking prasadam, you're putting in your consciousness, good spirit. And that spirit helps you to become actually empowered to pass it on. You know, that's what we say. I feel inspired today to go out and do something good, or do some books, or do preach to someone, or that the old world, you know, it's actually moving around on inspiration. So we are inspired to do good things. And it is that's what Maharaj Parikshit did. By the power of his repentance, because repenting is very important thing. When first of all we realize we made a mistake, and then repent, and then rectify our mistakes, and then reconciliation with God, with peace within ourselves. These four are very important. Even in the Catholic Church, these four are, that's where I learned them. Realization, regret, rectification and reconciliation. So Maharaj Parikshit, he went through all that. And then that's when the spiritual life begins. First we get purified, and then good things happen. First we purify our heart. We clean our heart from these sins that we have committed, and then the Lord comes in a clean chamber. First, it's not that he comes where the heart is dirty. You know, therefore, when there is repentance, that's repentance means it's fire. It burns the sins. Even if the person that you have offended does not forgive you, but just the fact that you are repenting, that is purifying enough. Just like the example, beautiful example of the stepmother of Lord Ram, when she casted him out and bound him to the forest for 13 years just to establish her son, Bharat, on the throne, which was a selfish, you know, Bharat is from my flesh, you know, from my body. But Ram is from somebody else's body. So it's my steps. So therefore it was a secondary son. That's mundane. But nevertheless, when Ram went away, and he took it as a blessings, and he even seek for the blessings of KK, please bless me, otherwise I will not survive in the forest, and please let me go with your love. And that's when she became, struck, you know, this boy is really something special, and she became so repentant. Even though Bharat, her own son, did not forgive her, when Lord Ramachandra came back to the kingdom and she fell at the feet of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra told her, that is all in the Ramayana, that, you know, there is nothing for me to forgive. You have already been forgiven by the fire of your repentance. So when we repent from our sins, you know, from all the things that we have done, all the offenses, is a good thing. Then we are immediately relieved and in peace with ourselves. And then a reward is coming. Repentance means cleaning the heart. And then something will become manifest in our heart, which is the mercy of the Lord. Just like here, Maharaj Parikshit, he repented for his offenses, and the heart was clean, and the Lord became a manifest by sending his representative, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So, and this manifestation of the mercy of the Lord doesn't just come through the spiritual master or the Lord himself or a book, but it can comes, you know, even through the holy name, prasadam, when someone is favorable, disposed towards you, especially when a devotee is, they are kind to you, they are very loving towards you. That's a special mercy. When you have a devotee showering affection towards you, that's it means that the Lord directly is caressing you. The Lord directly is being loving towards you. He uses the consciousness of his devotee. So Sukadeva Goswami appeared here to comfort Maharaj Parikshit and to bless him with the sublime mercy descending from the personality of Sri Krishna. So there is no worry. When we repent, the mercy of the Lord becomes manifest, and that will drive away all the ghosts that they've been haunting us, all the sins. Just like the lion doesn't have to do anything. If he's sleeping under a tree, and you have a tree filled up with so many blackbirds, the lion, it doesn't even, you know, it just by waking up and roaring, just by the roaring of the lion, all the blackbirds, they fly away from the tree. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna, or when we invoke the mercy of the Lord, when we are in the presence of a person, great personality, or Srimad Bhagavatam. Right now I have a book in front of me, right on my face, on my chest, and definitely is doing some good. It's driving away all the black birds of my sinful activities performed millions for millions and millions of lives in this world. So we are very fortunate, but we don't just have the words of Srila Sukadeva Goswami with us. We are surrounded by the association of devotees. We have a prasadam every day. So like Srila Prabhupada said at the end, we don't have to worry. All the sins, they will fly away. They will go away. But of course, the demons, they can't face the reality, this phenomena of purification. But still they get purified. Just like a rabbit, you know, he puts the head in the sand. If he doesn't want to face the reality or the rake, of the scorching heat, he puts the head in the sun because he can't face it, or he puts little pores, you know, on his eyes because sometimes, you know, the rabbit, you know, they cover their eyes because of the flashing of the lights of the car. But it doesn't mean that the reality is not there. It's just that they don't have the strength to face it. So demons are like that. They are actually exorcised by the light of the Lord, the light of the devotees. Either they run away because, like Prabhupada said, all the ghosts of sinful desires, the ghosts that are haunting us, they're driven away, but they get purified. If they stay, they get purified. But if they go, you know, they become weaker and weaker. So in other words, the message of God has a great effect on everybody, whether someone is a devotee or someone is a demon, like is explained here in this translation. The devotees, they embrace the mercy of the Lord, but the demons, they reject it. They can't stand it because they feel weak. When you see a phenomenon more powerful than you, you feel weakened. Either you stay to get purified and humiliated, or you go away defeated, run away defeated. So, what is it? One who praises himself will be humbled by the Lord. And one who is humble, he will be praised by the Lord. The devotees, because of their goodness, their good life, when the mercy comes, the Lord will praise them. Like Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he came to praise Maharaj Parikshit because he was a devotee of Krishna. But the same Lord, when he comes in front of a demon, he chastises the demon. Like Shishupa, he was envious of the Lord. So the Lord, he showed a different phase of his mercy, punishment. When Hiranyakashipu, he was so proud that the Lord, he had to humble him and give him the mercy in a different way. But they all get purified. So no matter when we are in contact with the representative of Krishna or the Lord himself or the books, like, you know, if I'm in a very bad consciousness, but still I open up the book, it will, even though there is a contrast there, but still the book has the power to purify. It maybe makes me feel uncomfortable. But the words of the Lord, they are aimed to purify everybody. So we have to just stay in it, stay put. Stay put to the association of the devotees, stay put to the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, stay put to the instructions of the spiritual master. Even if you feel a little bit despondent, you feel, you know, oh no, not again. Sometimes we feel that a devotee is telling us to do some things we don't like to do. But if we stay put, that very thing will give us purification. Because so many other wonderful things come. You know, tolerance, humility, and to be in the fire of the association of the scriptures, the sadhus, and Krishna, a guru, I mean. It's all purifying. It's all fire that it will give us good fortune. So, it's 8:25. And we will ask I will adjourn the class. We will ask if there is any questions.
Prabhu, thank you so much for your presentation. It was a wonderful class. Just revising a bit of what was spoken, a lot of it was helping us to understand the repentance of Parikshit Maharaj after he was cursed by Sringi, the Brahmana boy. And the last few 10-20 minutes you've been speaking about this redemption and how that fire is going to purify all our mistakes and all our sins become purified by that redemption. He also shared how Parikshit, in a humble and tolerant mood, he accepted the curse given to him by Sringi. And you shared with us the wonderful glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is decorated with the words of all the Mahajans and of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And and Srila Prabhupada inspired all of us to go out, as you do and many of us do, and give this Srimad Bhagavatam to others and share it to others and inspire others to pursue a spiritual life, to pursue a path of surrender to the Supreme Person, Sri Krishna. So that was inspiring. Thank you for that. There's no questions at the present moment in the chat, but a question comes to me that many of us are practicing this process of bhakti yoga given to us by the acharyas, but that redemption is very rarely coming. And from my own understanding, it comes from a lack of sincerity, or the first step is that we do not recognize our mistakes. We do not consider that we were wrong. So my question would be, where or how do we find that sincerity, that place of sincerity of heart, to recognize in the first place that we were wrong, before even feel it was bad, that just to recognize it was wrong?
It's a very good question. Yes. In order to feel repentant, you have to understand that you have done something wrong. But that's why by nature, we could use our narcissist nature. You know, the word narcissist means when we love ourselves a lot. We
self-centered.
Yeah, self-centered. So we can use that internal analysis of ourselves. What I've done, is a good thing or a bad thing? And we should try to analyze the activity that we have performed. If he has created some suffering. And then sometimes it's good also to step out of that narcissist mentality and go into the shoes of the person, or into the heart of the person that we have been offended, and pretend to be that person, for a few seconds, and say, okay, how would I feel, being treated like that? Like, for example, devotees there chanting in the temple room in the morning early during Brahma Muhurta time. If I come in and I put a snake skin, like Maharaj Parikshit did, around their neck, because I've been ignored. I come in and nobody offers me obeisances, nobody offers me a glass of water, nobody offers me some prasad or even a smile. So I put a snake skin around their neck. So as a devotee myself, I have to, as a practicing devotee, how would I feel myself, if someone treats me like that? You see, that's the first step you know, and then this phenomena of repentance comes in. In other words, like Jesus Christ used to say, don't do to others what you don't like to be done to you. When we inflict suffering to people, we are very much callous. We are not aware. We are not aware, you know, of how much pain we are inflicting to others. But we have to try to step into the body, just pretend, you know, to go into the body of the victim, of that person, and try to feel, you know, the way, you know, that person is feeling. You asked, you know, how do you invoke that understanding, realization that you made a mistake? Also, if we are honest people, if we believe in God, if we have a little shred of faith in God, then we can pray as well. If you are in harmony with God and you pray, then He will make you understand what you have done, if He's good or bad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So there's one more question coming on the chat, and it's from Arika in the Temple Room, and she's asking about how do we deal with bullies, because you said that Krishna are sending the demons into our lives, but sometimes devotees or persons come who just came to create havoc, to disturb the devotees. So how should we deal with these persons?
How do we deal with bullies? it's a cycle of karma. If we've been bullied, you know, as a child, as a children, it means we have done something similar to other people. A bully person is someone who has been bullied. That's how you hate. It's a learning lesson. I mean, someone has hated you. That's how we learn how to become hateful. So therefore, we have to break off from that chain. If we are bullied by someone, we don't want to pass it on, you know, to somebody else, that mentality. So we cut it off. You know, we ignore that person. We leave the association of that person, you tolerate it, and it will diffuse. Just like, you know, I give you an example when you, when I was driving, you know, some time back, and there was a traffic, so I gave a chance, you know, to an older lady to come in, you know, into the queue. And then at the roundabout, she stopped and gave a chance to somebody else, even though there was a lot of traffic. See, attitude are contagious. So when you bullied by someone, it makes you angry, and that's how we develop a bullying mentality sometimes. But if you tolerate, you know, just walk away from that person, and that's it. It will diffuse the situation. Bullies are always, I mean, even at Jesus Christ, you know, He was crucified. There are people coming into our lives who are worse than bully. The world is full of bullies. There's a lot of people who are bullying all the time, in a mild way, in a medium way, in a heavy way. It's just the nature of this world. That's why it's not a world for a gentleman. We have to walk away or tolerate. If you are in an environment, you know, where you work and you're bullied, you know, just bring it up to use all the forces towards this person. Or if you could stand, you know, to this person yourself, why not? And teach the lesson. I personally, I never liked the bullies myself. I've always had a fight, confrontation. But we all have different way how to respond. But now, you know, if I'm bullied by someone, you know, you have to take shelter of Krishna. Or you walk away. Or you report that person. You know, it's an acceptable behavior to be bullied. And it's something that it's an environment that we are all living in. And we cannot avoid it.
Thank
you. Is that okay?
Thank you, Hare Krishna.